His curiosity is an obsession. He makes bad stuff because he wants to know what it's going to do. Hi, and welcome to Actual Play, the podcast. This is Stars Without Number, episode 4, part 2. More adventures on Tarakon Station. More of Hope and Atlas and Dartha trying to figure out what exactly is going on and who we're really working for. Who is Fafir, this organization that we've all aligned ourselves with, and what are their goals? I absolutely love the scenes that we have with Raven and with Dr. Long, because they defied some expectations, and I think Jay sort of gave us the opportunity of like, how far in do you want to go? And the answer was all in. So hope you enjoy our continued adventures on Tarakon. Hello, welcome back to Actual Play, Stars Without Number. We just had a real chill time on the station. There was revelations of AI, attacks on Yurdos and Yon, and an explosion, you know.
Maybe like a bomb.
That's Tuesday night on Tarakon Station.
Nice.
So I think we're standing over Dartha, in her hospital bed, which Tomes was gonna describe to us.
So I think the scene starts with the bed, and the bed is like this kind of like, not quite a half dome. A half dome implies it's like half of a sphere. This is like, it goes about one quarter of the way up. It's like a dish, a big bowl, if you will. but just like we expect like space bed to look, it's got like all sorts of like fancy lights and shit and buttons and stuff. Like it's electronic, right? Like this stuff. The inside is like a bowl, but the outside's all like high-tech space shit. And we see Dartha, I guess reclining is probably the word. Like when we think of a human reclining, we're like, oh, reclining means to just like let all those muscles just chill out. And that's what Dartha is doing, except it looks like a pool of blob, right? There's no pseudopods. Mm-hmm. There's just like this, it's just like a, you know, kind of like a sphere, and then it blobs down and the two eyes are just sitting on top.
I was gonna say, is your face kind of just flat?
I mean, like my face is like eyes, right? So like, yeah, it looks a little weird for sure. But
just
yeah,
that's a bowl of blob with eyes on top.
Yeah.
I love that.
And I think I'm obviously, I've just heard something you've said, and I'm like, maybe it's that one word, like question, right? Like either Dr. Long or like what would be like the thing I would be incredulous about?
Ooh. Yeah, would it be Raven? Would it be
I feel like it'd be Raven because Raven just saved you.
Oh, maybe.
And we were able to clear the room before we filled you in, right? There's no one else in this. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Timothy was there when we got there, but I imagine we could say we got this, Timothy. You go, you know, find out what happened or something.
It'd be kind of funny if I responded with a weird word that didn't sound like either of these things you would expect, which is Raven or Dr. Long.
Yeah.
But I don't know what that would be either.
As just like a point of note, it just occurred to me, like, I'm super happy to indoctrinate Timothy into this whole shenanigans as well. I feel like he is just as clueless as the rest of us. I don't think Timothy is like, I'm a super spy for Dr. Long.
I think
he is just
an agenda. He's a very sweet man.
Okay, guys.
I think he's very sweet. So if he's still there, I'm totally down with him.
No, I'm so glad you said that, because I think that I'm going to use Timothy to replace Sinclair in my... you know, as a compatriot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, so all three of us are standing around. Timothy's still there. Yep. We've just spilled the beans to him, too.
I think he's got something sensitive, breakable in his hand as you guys are just laying this all out. And I think he just drops it
because
his mind is just blowing open, right?
It's a beaker with another like dose of jello insert, right?
We get blood transfusions. Dartha gets jello transfusions.
Jello shots.
Blob transfusions.
Dartha gets the vaccine. It's a jello shot.
Oh my god, no, 100%. Sean just showed that the boba tea. It is 100% a bag that's like an IV bag, but it's like boba in there.
By the way, if anyone are boba fans, I found out it's super easy to make it, and now I make it at home.
Wow, and, nice.
Nice.
It's tasty.
So I think he's in denial, because he's like, but we need Raven, and Dr. Long, he's our boss. That makes no sense. You can't be right. Raven saved us so many times.
Timothy?
Yeah.
You want to go first?
No. I think Hope is nodding in agreement, like, yes, and I think Darth is going to deliver the and.
I think then that's when we see, like, you're saying yes, and in front of your face, we see the pseudopod kind of, like, stretch out from the bed, right, from that pile of blob, and kind of go over to Timothy and put its little, like, hand on Timothy's kind of hand, right? And we hear Dartha and Timothy. There are times when you follow orders to follow orders because it makes sense. It is the structure that we've put in place to make sure that all of us can excel as much as we can as a greater society. And there are times when we must question the ruling of those above us because it is not right. And I think that's all I say. And I'm just like holding his hand.
I feel like that's one of the most definitive things Dartha said in front of Hope. Like, I think this is the episode where Dartha is saying, like, true facts
right
here, right? And I feel like Dartha's always like, let's see how this plays out. Like, yes, I encourage you to have this conversation. Yes, I think, you know, this is interesting. Oh, isn't that fascinating? She doesn't say a lot of declarative statements. And I feel like this is the episode where Dartha starts
laying it down. Yes.
Yeah. The way I see it, we still only know parts of this. We don't know the whole truth of it. We don't know what Raven is doing attacking Yon and Erdos. We don't know what their agenda is. We just know what they've been up to, but not the why. And I don't think any amount of notes or speculation is going to answer that. I have friends back there. I have people I care about on Erdos. I didn't leave Erdos to let them die to Raven's team's assault. I left so that they wouldn't go to war with Yon. I don't want those people to get hurt. And I think we need to find out why they're doing all this, what it's all about. And I think the only way we're going to find out is if we talk to Raven herself. Or Dr. Long, but he has proven over and over again to be very good at dismissing our concerns.
I don't want to do it, but we could do it.
Dominique, you cut out for a second. What was it you said?
We could beat up the old man. I mean, you want answers? Maybe, you know, talk to him a few times, get some answers. I don't want to do it, but I'm not above it.
Well, look, for as much as Raven has not always gotten along with all of us, I don't feel like she's been lying to our faces. Withholding information, absolutely. But Dr. Long has straight up dodged and evaded every time we've talked to him. I don't think we'd give Raven a chance. And I turn to Timothy, put you on the spot a little there, Jay. I'm like, Timothy, you've been working with Raven for a long time. Like you said, she saved us. She's had our back. You think all that was just for show? Do you think she really cares about us?
I think she cares. She hangs out with us. She doesn't hang out with those other gun mercs she works with. Those folks are violent. She doesn't hang out with them.
So maybe she's got some reluctance. Maybe she's doing this because she has to. Maybe she's got, maybe Dr. Long's got something on
maybe
her.
Maybe he's clearing 3 million credits of debt for her too.
I think it's at this moment and Dartha's been kind of like listening, and we've already got the sense that Dartha's kind of like maybe at a different reporting structure level, right? Like somewhere between where you guys are at and Dr. Long, but like closer to Dr. Long, right?
Right, right.
Like,
definitely. Darth is the boss.
Right. She's got authority.
We report to you.
Right. And I think she actually speaks up right now. And this is not something we've heard before. And we don't actually expect this normally from like a human commander to necessarily let you guys in as, you know, like with secrets or with their feelings. But that's what Dartha says. Dartha's like, I also feel like Dr. Long has not been honest with me. And that it seems a little very, it's a little revealing that I think she's trusting you guys. Like I'm trusting you guys.
Yeah, you're breaking decorum, right? You should, as a officer of a certain rank, not share that with your subordinates. You should share it with your peers or up, but you shouldn't stare that down the chain, right?
That's right. And I only say a couple words, but that is exactly what I say.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think that kind of pauses hope for a moment where like you confirm it, it means even more. We got to talk to Raven. Maybe she shoots us. She does like her big guns, but I feel better about talking to Raven than beating up an old man.
What if we talk to her without the big guns? Because the big gun is one of the few things capable of killing me.
When was the last time you saw Raven without a big gun? It's kind of like fruit and seeds. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a good thing. They just kind of go together, you know?
Yeah, okay. So Raven and the big gun. But if the gun points at anyone, we run, right?
We'll see.
I love that you say we run, and Dartha's like, I can definitely try.
You can try, right?
Oh my goodness. Tomes, do you like the idea that this little pod that you're in is like a hover pod and we can push you around in it? Like
100%.
Nice. Morph wheelchair.
As yeah, of it's like 2.5 seconds ago, yes, I am 100% in that plan.
Nice. Awesome. So I go up to the thing and I like release, like I like pull like a lever that like releases a thing that was like holding it in place.
Right.
And like turn on the like the little hover thing so it like floats, you know, so it like floats up above, like it was like, it's like on like a structure or something like that. So it like floats up like an inch off the structure, you know? And then I'm like, well, let's go, right? And Tomes, if you want, you can pilot it like a vehicle or we can push it, whatever's, you know, I don't wanna take away your.
I love the idea that you guys are like, let's go. And you start walking off and the hover chair is just kind of sitting there. Timothy was with us, right?
Yeah.
And I think Timothy's like, oh, right, and goes back and starts pushing it.
Gotcha. Nice.
Now, he's a bioengineer, right? He's the medical guy.
Yeah, he's the medical guy. He's the medical tech, med tech. What tickles me is there's this 600-year-old AI calling a 40-year-old man the old man. Every time you say that, I laugh inside.
Literally just because Hope said that he was an old man, and now I'm like, okay, I guess that's what old means.
That's right, he's the old man. Nice.
In my other space game that I play, I am the old man, and everyone calls me old man all the time.
Also, I'd like to point out that this is totally like dog years. Like 600 AI years is what, like 13?
Nice. So it's late, right? I think we established it was... it's late, right? In the night. So we've seen earlier Raven head back to her quarters, right? So it's reasonable that she's probably in there, showered, in bed, right?
Well, she was at Dartha's place after the explosion, right? She was just in her purple.
Oh, that is right. I got the timing wrong. Yes.
So, but I mean, I'm fine catching her in her quarters. Like, she's just retired, you know? Dartha's been in sick bay for some time, maybe.
Right. And you guys are having that conversation, right?
Yeah.
So I think maybe she's, relaxing in her quarters, right? Just before, right? There's that magical time before you actually hop into bed and go to sleep.
Yeah.
She's kind of relaxing, right?
The 4 minutes of actual not feeling like you have to do 18 things with
the day. Right. I think that's where she's at when you guys come calling.
Yeah.
Where does she live? Like, what's the setup?
Yeah. So I think on the space station, if you could bring up Tarkin again. Actually, mm-hmm. can I see it here?
Yeah, you should be able to see it on the roll 20.
Yeah, there we go. So I think that she's at either, I think she's at the bottom. I think she stays at either pole or end, and I like the bottom because that's the vertical space.
Like down there, like in the little, like in the bottom sphere?
Yes, I think she's in the, yeah. I think she's as far away from the docking bays as possible. And I think maybe that area is kind of remote in that it's still in the construction. They haven't figured out exactly what they're doing with that space entirely. And so it hasn't been sectioned up into anything really yet, right? So I'm a big city guy. I like downtowns because they have lofts, and usually those lofts are in old buildings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they've gutted like the interior of those old buildings, so you have like this big, gigantic space. That's what I feel like she's at. Like that construction area is wide open. It hasn't been fully defined. You don't know, are these going to be labs? Is this science stuff? Is this engineering? What are we doing here? And so temporarily, for however long that is, she's in that space, and that's where she lives, right?
All right. How do you like that? Where I dropped her?
Oh, that's perfect. I like that. Yeah, that's perfect. I think for her, that's away from work, the job, everything else. It's someplace different, right?
Yeah.
Someplace it's sanctuary, right? I think that means her quarters are easily 3-4 times the size of anybody else's. But it's wide open, and it's, I don't want to say it's Spartan. Maybe there's no VI there, right? They haven't wired it up for that, right?
So nice.
It's not like a smart space. And that's kind of what she likes, right?
Let me guess, there's sort of like a training mat there. It's like a workout space in her apartment. She can,
yes, yeah. I think it's sectioned up. Actually, yes. And I think it's kind of cluttered, right? Not hoarding stuff, but I think it's messy, right? I think it's kind of messy. I think stuff's around, right?
Nice. What kind of stuff is she into? What kind of stuff is it? Is it all just weapons, guns, or does she like have like other shit she's...
No, so I think there's...
And I wanted to ask, like, uh-huh. Given that this is like space station suburbs,
right.
Like on the way into her quarters, is mm-hmm. there something we pass that gives us like one of those like, okay, that's weird.
Right. I think there are... Oh, absolutely. So I think the corridors are a little larger because they haven't built in the infrastructure, what's happening in. They haven't built in smart stuff, right? So I think the corridors are larger. They're rougher. I think at some point, Timothy has to pop out maybe whatever repulsor or hover technology on your cart, right? Because it's no longer paying attention to the station, right? Maybe it was on the station's smart rails, and now you're in a section that it doesn't have that built in, right? So, and now he's really having to push it, right? Where maybe before it's like auto pushing, right? Now he's actually having to push it. So I think that happens, right? And then I think you see in commercial spaces, they call it white box, where everything's just painted all white and you decide mm-hmm. later on. So I think you walk into a section that's like that. It's kind of white box. Everything's kind of clean, some neutral color. And then there's scuff marks in different areas, like up on the wall here, there's a scuff mark of a thing, and there's a scuff mark on the wall along here, right? And they start and they go maybe 3 or 4 feet and then it stops abruptly, right? Scuff marks, right? And they're just random all over the place, right? As you're making your way to Raven's quarters, right? I think her doors don't auto open or anything, and maybe it's because it's late and she's got them locked. But then she opens them up, right? And I think she's got like old man pajamas on, right? I think that's what she's got on, right? Something like sweats and like maybe an old man pajama shirt or whatever, right? And maybe she's eating a bowl of cereal or something, right? And then she looks annoyed at first, and then she's like trying to hide the cereal off to the side or whatever, right? And she's like, yeah.
Raven, I think we gotta talk.
And because she sees Dartha on the hover cart and everything, that kind of weighs the whole thing. And yeah. So she kind of okay. And then coming into her place, like I said, it's kind of wide and open. It's easily four times the size of normal quarters. You can see a section that is neat and tidy. That's her uniform. You see three different sets of battle armor set up, three different uniforms there. And that's all nice and neat and tidy, her work stuff. But the rest of the place is kind of haphazard, scattered, spaced out. You see maybe a hover bike in disrepair, right? It looks like she's working on, like the engine's exposed, other parts of it are exposed. There's instruments, tools that are kind of scattered around it, and it's kind of on a stand, right? Because everything's nice. Not there. I think there's a hoverboard, right? Maybe three or four of them, right? In another section, maybe one or two of them are whole, they kind of piece together. The other two are kind of in parts that she's working on, right?
Does like hoverboard races seem like the kind of thing that could scuff up walls and ceilings?
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely.
Oh,
yes.
Fuck. Yes. Thank you for putting skateboards into this thing, because, like, oh my God. But I'm going to say that Dartha knows not to say a fucking word. Raven respects authority structures
mm-hmm.
to a degree.
Right.
Or she knows what they play and how they play out.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I will be more of an authority structure by not saying a thing, just being there as a presence. Like the fact that she actually immediately looks at me, we know that.
Right.
So Hope's the one talking. Like Dartha doesn't say anything, right?
Right.
I'm going to let Hope and Atlas and whatever, like you guys do it.
Yeah.
I have a question just to fill in the details of her, her apartment is that of the uniforms that are exposed, which uniforms are they? Because she's got two that we know of. There's like your uniform and the owl one.
Right. So there is her regular everyday uniform that's up there that you've always seen when she goes out with you guys. There's that purple one with the yellow owl insignia, and it looks like it's nice, cleaned up, ready to put on for her side hustle, right? And there's a, I want to say black, but it's like blacker than black, right? It's like soaking up light black, right? Uniform right next to that, right? And I say uniform, but it's battle armor is what it is, right? Breastplates, arm, leg plates, knee plates, all that stuff, right? All those accoutrements. They're, you know, kind of staged there in three separate sections there. Close, but... nice and neat, ready to go, like some sergeant's gonna come in and inspect any moment. That's where she has that set up. But the rest of the place is lived in and kind of haphazard and scattered around.
Nice, nice.
I love that. Is that black armor's gotta be like those carbon nanotube paints?
Or yes, yes.
we're looking at it and it's just like, looks like the outline of armor. And we're
right.
You kind of.
Right, your eyes can't quite catch it. like it's too, Permatex, that 82180, like that, that's just the certain, the like ultra black, yeah, like absorbs, right. Yeah. Dominique, do you have a preference of like who kind of leads into this? Is this Hope or Atlas?
I almost want to defer to Hope because you know her better and it was your idea to confront her.
Okay. All right, well, please interrupt me, jump in, cut me, you know, whatever. Right? So Hope looks at her in her, you know, old man PJs with her bowl of cereal and is like, does it seem like she wants us to come in and get comfortable, or is it she's still standing in the doorway and we're all standing kind of awkwardly?
I think everyone's inside and the door is closed, right?
Okay.
But you're probably in the first one quarter of the space,
yeah.
Right? I think she still wants to try to figure out what's this about.
Right.
Maybe so I'm guessing, not staying long.
Yeah, I'm guessing that there's like some hoverboard that's just like floating in the air.
Uh-huh.
And Hope like hops her butt up onto it. So she's like sitting on it, like not going to ride it. Just like this is what Hope figures is stands in for furniture.
Right.
You know, this is showing like I'm putting my guard down here. Like I'm relaxing. Right.
Nice.
And she's like, Raven, we learned some things and they don't make any sense. And you're tied to all of them. And so we're hoping, I'm hoping all the time that we have spent together means something, because I don't quite know what to make of everything that that we found. And I'm really hoping you can, really hoping you can and you will help us out, because I know we haven't gotten manicures together. I know I haven't come to all your races. I know we've had some differences, but I also feel like we've had each other's backs, and I feel like that was more than just following orders. And I think, you know, again, without like sort of belaboring it to the audience, I think I'm going to share essentially, and this is very much like Hope wanting to speak from her perspective. She does not want to speak on behalf of Atlas or Dorothy here. So this is very much like a personal plea, and they are welcome to, you know, add in their right. own feelings. But she comes and says, like, when I came to you, and you is kind of vague here because it's fear, it's Dartha, it's Long, but also Raven is certainly included. When I came to you, I told you that Eerdos had found the orbital platform inside the black hole with pre-tech equipment on it, and they were going to use that to take this Cold War and heat it right up. And I wanted to do anything I could to prevent people needlessly dying. And then I like look at that purple armor and I just go, we know, but we don't know why. And before I assume the worst, I wanted to ask you. Or we wanted to ask you.
Right. So she looks at you, she looks at the hoverboard, and she says, I don't race, there are no races.
Because that's the most important thing here.
I mean, I think she's pointing out, you don't know who I am. I don't know.
You don't know me. That's what she said.
You don't know me.
It's fair. It's legit. We don't know her. Like, I mean.
She says, I work for Dr. Long. For the most part, I'm assigned to Dartha. So I will take my acting orders from Dartha. As long as they don't contradict my standing orders from Dr. Long. And most of the time they don't.
All right. So far, you're not actually telling me anything I don't know.
Right. And then she says, so any operations that or assignments that I'm given from Dr. Long, I don't have to share them with you. And if Dartha wants to know, she can go talk to Dr. Long.
Yeah. I'm sorry. No. I apologize. I did not convey this right. I am not coming to you, Raven, soldier. I'm coming to you, Raven, the person, and asking if you would be willing to tell me what's going on.
All right.
I'm not giving you any orders. I'm not in the place to. And if your answer is you can go to hell, then... All right. But right now, the assumptions in my heart are some really deep and dark ones, and I don't want to go there if I don't have to.
So we're going to roll off. This is going to be a talk test.
Yeah, that sounds great. Cool.
It might just be a talk test.
Yeah.
Can I say how much I appreciate that we're playing this kind of like awesome kind of, you know, like it feels like an old school game and like the combat is this. I am so into this combat.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. I think the one thing I want to get in before we roll the dice is right. like, I really don't want you to be my enemy.
Right. I think... and I'll be clear here. So I think your target is an 8. I think missing it means she's all about the chain of command. If mm-hmm. you want some information, she's going to point put you on the chain of command path, right?
Yep.
And if you come back with the right authority, she's more than happy to have the conversation. But I think if you make the role, right, then you make a connection with Raven, yeah, right? And she'll open up and she'll share some things with you.
I like it. I like it a lot. Since Hope is not great at talking, but right, Hope is there.
Right. Talk,
and I feel like both Dartha and Atlas have like are better at this. Do either of you want to help with your encouragements, yeah, with your presence or anything like that?
No. We both help?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think you both try, but I think I can only get one help on us.
Right.
Oh, right. But we can both try. So like right, almost like if both of us try and one fails and one succeeds, it still gives you the help.
Right.
I believe so. Yeah. Jay, was there more to it?
I will see how that plays out. That'll be interesting to color, depending on who helps and who does not.
Dominique, yeah, come on. Let's see what Atlas does.
All right.
Right, because we know there's some friction between Atlas and Raven, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, I'm going to roll.
Okay.
7. That doesn't hit.
All right. What does it look like for Atlas? Is it just your presence, or are you also kind of?
I think I would say I know that our working relationship got off to kind of a weird start, and that you haven't always trusted me. But this is really important, and we would super appreciate your honesty and your help. And I, like Hope said, I don't want to be your enemy.
Cool. Yeah. All right, how about you, Tomes?
I think, so we hear that the role means it was not quite a success, right?
It didn't land super well.
And I think we can feel that, right? As the audience, like we're seeing this and we're like, ooh, Raven's not convinced yet, right? And I think I say, I am not here in my official capacity. And I signal that because I'm in Medbay, technically, right now, my presence in her is legally not as a superior. So I am here legally as another peer individual, and whatever she says cannot be used in a court of law as if she was said it in front of a superior, right? Like this is straight up just like legal bullshit, right? But I know that that's important, you know, because like chain of command is an important thing to her to some degree.
Yeah.
And maybe this would give her enough like comfort to go, okay, I can, you know, share here. Sorry, what am I rolling?
You're going to roll talk.
Talk.
You're going to try and hit an 8. And if you do, I will get +1 on the roll.
Bam. And it does, what is it? Intelligence? Charisma? Sorry.
I think it's charisma.
Usually. It's charisma.
Okay. Go.
Nice. Okay.
Nice.
So now I have to make the roll to see if this actually goes through. Right. It's an interesting thing with help, because with help, if you make the, you have to hit the difficulty. So like if you did it, you could have just like done it, but that's, you know, that's the risk, right? You don't
right.
Like we, all right. So I'm going to roll my -1 talk.
Oh no. With,
charisma, but I'm going to get +1 because of
I can do is open the door.
Well, that didn't add it, but if I'd added it, it right. would have not worked anyway.
Oh.
But I'm gonna say a thing because I can do this because it's okay. My power.
Uh-huh.
And I think I'm gonna like envision where I say, I fucking know you went down there. I saw the vid of you. And I think I just like see her stiffen, and then we flash back to hoping like maybe that's not the right way. And I'm going to use my alternative outcome to re-roll a failed action.
That is badass. Spend, I love it.
Spend, like, because I had not Spentani right now.
This kids is how at home you play a story game and can metagame at the same time.
All right, let's see if I can do this. Now, what I didn't get though was a prompt to add, so I'm gonna go in and like do this little thing, clarify modifiers. There we go.
Yeah,
now I
yeah.
should get a prompt to add. Not that it would have made a difference, but you know, plus
that is
one.
Funny.
Come on, baby.
I know you went down there. I saw you.
Come on. Oh, that was it. That was eight. Eight. Eight is exactly what I needed. It is exactly what I got. And it was nice. Only because of your help. It's only because of Darla's help and a little bit of, you know, precognitive sensing the future. So instead of being like, I saw you, I like literally turn my, I take a totally different approach. I turn my back on the armor, like I'm not even looking at it. And I'm just like, we all have people we care about. And I just want to know what I can do to help them. And like, try to like, you know, and try to include her in the people we care about. Because this was Hope's attempt, was Hope, was that Raven right. would actually be a friend and not, yeah, so.
Right.
That was
awesome. Yes. Yes, for all the things, just barely, narrowly making that.
Nice.
And like, what a great scene, all the way starting from Atlas. Like, even that like, the failed role helped, like, propel this. Like, it was just, thank you, world.
Guys, universe. We're so good at this. We're so good at this.
Yes, you are. You guys are awesome. This is badass. I love it. So I think Raven walks over, and she gets her bowl of cereal, right? When she moves, right, you can see she was probably a step or two away from, on the floor, a pulse rifle, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Raven and her rifles. Man.
And but she walks over and grabs her bowl of cereal, right, and picks it up, and she's eating it, and she walks back over, and she looks at Dartha, and she nods at Dartha, meaning she understands what you're saying in the situation you're in. And then she looks at Atlas and she says, look, we don't have a problem, you and me. I don't hate you. I know what you are. I know where you came from. I know what you're capable of, right? And I know ultimately, right, I'm not getting close to you because we're going to have to dismantle you too, right? And so I can't be your friend, right? And she says it just matter of fact, just like that. No malice, no evilness, no anything like that, right? And she says, yeah, you
appreciate not being dismantled in this
hardcore.
But
oh
but,
yeah, we're definitely dismantling
right?
you.
But what that implies is she took apart, well, she sees you as machinery, right? And
yeah.
And it implies she took apart or was part of or knows about another piece of machinery that we did this to, right?
Yes.
And ultimately we're gonna have to do the same thing to you, right? And so we can't be friends, right?
That's a shame.
I have a short story. Growing up, we had a farm. Well, my great aunt had a farm, and there were there were pigs and there were hogs, right? And my sister wanted to name them all, right? And one of the farm hands was like, you can name the pigs, but you can't name the hogs, right? And we were young, and I'm like, that seems crazy. Why can't we just name them all? And he's like, well, you need to talk to your folks about that, but you can feed the pigs, whatever, right? I will feed the hogs. You can name the pigs, but don't name the hogs. And that's because the hogs go to market, right? And right. And so that's where Raven is, and kind of, we can't.
Oh.
Because I know what happens to you, right?
Yep.
But she says to Hope, look, I know those are your people. And you probably should have talked to Dr. Long first. You should have took this whole thing to Dr. Long first. No one has any malice against your people, Iridos, and the folks that you work with. But both, Iridos and Jan, they're after some bad technology. Not just dangerous or stuff to weaponize. There's a thing that's called Maltech, right? This is stuff that existed a long time ago. We don't make it anymore, but there are caches of it out there. And our fear is there are caches of it on the vault. And if either of those sides get their hands on it first, we don't know what that stuff entirely does, right? Dr. Long is, it's probably his story to tell, but he's got some responsibility about where that bag technology goes and where it can't go and who can't have it. And he's made some decisions about how he's going to handle both Jan and Irdos. And the orders come from him, and I execute on those orders.
So is your attempt then to just slow their progress? Is this, I mean, obviously you can't, you said you execute on those orders. They're Dr. Long's, maybe he's got the plans, but I'm really trying to see the humanity in all of the things I've just witnessed, you know, when we like flashback to like this murderous patrol, right? Right? Like, right? And like Hope is genuinely trying to see the greater good that this did. Like, and yeah, so she's like, so are you saying that this is, these attacks, these assault missions have been to slow them down so that they can't get to the vault?
In a sense, one is it's to prevent their access to the vault. Second, I don't know that Dr. Long cares if they fight. I think he cares about the fallout from that fight. And so some of it is to pull the stingers out of both scorpions, right? We don't go attacking the people of Irdos. We attack the military might of Irdos and of Jan. Jan is more sneaky than Irdos is, but Irdos has more military might. And if you're watching the news, they think they're fighting each other. But all the while, we're pulling, you know, the stingers, the talons, the claws out of both sides. Yeah, people are going to die in that, right? But they're not everyday people. They're folks like me that signed up for this job.
Were any of those videos I saw attacks on, I don't know, say the mining core? Right? Like, because Hope was not designated a combatant. She was a miner, right? She was a miner with very specific skills. She was probably part of the Irdos armed forces in some kind of capacity, but not as a combatant, right? Like the Irdos mining core is key to their success in a lot of ways. But she certainly, like, there's no weapons on Squidly besides these like mining lasers meant for breaking up rocks, right? Like, right. So just were any of these like attacks on, you know, those sorts of facilities, or were they combat targets? Were they, you know, because to me, the most effective thing to do would be to take out the mining core, because then they can't go into the black hole. But that would also be the categorically worst thing to do, because it's killing civilians. So I'm just trying to figure out like where, like it's strategically smart, but morally abhorrent. And I'm trying to figure out where Raven's actions fall on that spectrum.
And Raven says, look, I know you're a pilot and you're a miner, right? The problem is there are folks down there that have abilities like you, and both sides are weaponizing them, right? If you didn't come to us, they would have weaponized you too, right? There are folks that, there are folks who are hurting for money, and they will ferry folks out to pilots like you, out to the vault, scavenging. There are a bunch of folks that don't make it back, that just die out there, because they don't know what they're getting into. But Jan and Irdos, they both weaponize folks with psionic abilities, especially precogs. There are whole units in both sides that are specialized for fighting using those abilities.
I think, yeah, Hope sort of turns back to look at Atlas and Dartha to sort of, you know, with that, like, what do you think, look? Like, are we cool with this?
Well, like, no. But I accept it as an explanation. I have one more question for Raven.
Mm-hmm.
Who else have you dismantled?
There are three of you. And you'll probably have to have a bigger conversation with Dr. Lone. But there's one called Epimetheus that I helped take down, and we have his parts. Another one of you, Prometheus, and it takes her a little bit to remember the name, but she says Prometheus helped us destroy Epimetheus. And from time to time, we will work with Prometheus, but we know that our agendas don't align.
My brain is exploding right now. Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, Raven was there with us when we saw Prometheus. Like, Raven, I think, was there. Yeah.
Yeah, Raven was there. Yeah. But Raven did not react in any way that betrayed her knowing Prometheus.
No, nor did Prometheus act like she knew Raven.
Is this totally where, like, the hardcore fans will look back at that episode and watch it and be like, look, they looked at each other.
It's right there.
They looked at each other.
They did the eyebrow lift thing. Yeah.
Oh my God. This is so much.
Yeah. I think you've talked about your phylactery when we're in med bay. We're in med bay together. Yeah. So I look to Raven, I'm like, do you have Epimetheus's phylactery?
And she looks at you like, what are you talking about? I don't know what that is. What are you talking about?
Well, let's not get into that then. Nothing important.
Yeah, I think I looked at Atlas, and if you're like, nothing, I'm like, okay, it's your...
Nothing worth discussing at this juncture.
Yeah, and it's clear she doesn't, I mean, you're talking some terms, she has no idea what that means. Yeah. I think if she goes and looks it up, it'll be some D&D term, right? And
yeah.
A lich
is destroyed by a 20th level paladin using a holy avenger. Also destroys their phylactery. What?
Yeah, so that goes right over her head. She has no idea what you're talking about.
All right, never mind.
And you can see that, right? There's no subterfuge there, right? She has no idea what that term means.
Do you guys have any other questions for her?
I kind of have, like, the where do we go from here?
It feels like...
question, but I don't think Raven's the one to answer that. But
right. And I think she says, if this is a coup and you go looking for Dr. Long, I'm not in with you, right? I'm not on that team.
Not a coup. We just have questions.
I'm not on that team.
So
you're not on team questions.
No,
I get
it.
You're
loyal to Dr. Long.
Right.
Okay. Well, it's not a coup. We're not threatening his power or his, you know, life and livelihood. I just have some things that I want to
Hope remembers you 5 minutes ago being like, maybe we beat up the old man.
That's right, maybe we beat him up.
We're not threatening his life. I'm just gonna, like, stalk him in the face a few times. He'll be fine.
Tell me what I need to know.
It is 100% in, like, the preview, like, all the commercials in the preview of the next edition, like, what happened last time? That's it's right. Always like, let's just rough up the old man. Like, it comes up over.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we need to have a conversation with Dr. Long about what we're going to do when we go back to the vault and we recover that nanite technology. Because that is the malware you're talking about. That is the danger. That is the threat.
And I think we're done here, right, with Raven.
Yeah, but I think that's worth telling Raven, like, she wants to know, like, is this a coup? And Hope's response is, this isn't a coup. I just need to have a conversation. Like, you encouraged us to have a conversation with Dr. Lar. And I'm like, we need to have a conversation about what we're going to do when we recover those nanites. And where are they going to go? And who's going to use them?
So 100%, I think we all shuffle into whatever the elevator is that takes us off of this, like, suburban deck.
Right, but hold on. When you mention the nanites... she says, well, I'll give you some advice. He doesn't care about the nanites, right? We don't know how many tubes of nanites are on that ship, how many are still there, how many got moved. What we're looking for is the control mechanism. There's one piece of, like a radio, that tells the nanites what to do, right? If we can find that, disable that, or get that, then it doesn't matter who has the nanites, right? They can't make it do a thing. So he doesn't care about the actual nanites. We got to find the device that controls them.
Okay.
Don't need to talk to him before we go.
Thank you.
I think we go into the tube.
Right.
And as soon as we start, like, it looks like, oh, the doors are closing.
Right.
Dartha speaks to the ship computer, the station.
Yeah.
And is like, lockdown communication on deck 5, like basically just like, Raven's there and that's cool. We didn't have beef with her, but also like, I need to sever any of her ability to leave this deck or communicate with anybody else within the ability that I have. I don't know that I have the right authority, but I'm gonna do the best I can to do that until we go talk to Dr. Long.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't want her to give him the heads up.
The heads up, right. Nice.
That's
played this game before.
I dig it.
I love it. Yeah.
Dartha's a blob who's been around a bit. This isn't her first rodeo with humans and their bullshit. Nice.
And their bullshit. Yep. I think when Hope sees you, hears you do that, right? You give the voice command. Hope hears you do that. To Hope, that is now you've stepped over a line. Because Hope didn't want to involve you in the breaking into Dr. Long's office. She knew that she and Atlas were potentially doing some shit that would get them into trouble, but she didn't want, you know, again, she didn't see Atlas or herself as being like firmly entrenched in fear. Like she, like, you know, we're still new to this, but you're like career and now you're risking your own. I don't know.
There's an additional piece here. Just before I do that, I don't actually have the authority because I told you legally I had been deprecated temporarily on leave because of medical. I immediately am like, override this thing. I give a code. I have just like stepped back into position right after we've left Raven. And like, it's all like within like a couple seconds, you can hear all the steps that we've done to just kind of like take care of that.
Nice.
Wowza.
What's the plan? So that's good. Raven cannot reach out and warn Dr. Long because that is exactly the next bullet point on my list, right? I was getting ready to put a line through it, right? That is awesome.
Nice.
What is your next move?
Well, it's the middle of the night. So do we go immediately? Do we like shake the old man? Are we beating him up or no?
I think that's
I love that this is I love that this is like Atlas's for like so is it violence, is it time for violence, is it
Atlas has been very opposed to violence but you know willing to make an exception because he has had enough of the bullshit.
I think this is the first time we do see that Dartha's pseudopod comes out of the little like floaty bed and I put my pseudopod on your hand. And, you know, I say, it may be the time for violence. It may not.
Okay, so Dartha's in for beating up the old man.
Yeah. Hope is like, let's see what he has to say. But we're going to talk to him right now. He's not getting beauty sleep tonight.
Sick.
And, yeah, I think we're the one thing though. I say that sort of has Hope distracted a little bit, although it's not going to stop her. But she definitely pulls open her like compad to see if there's been a response from MHARO-1, if there's been you know from you know it's only been a couple hours at this point. I think it's all been kind of boom, boom, boom.
But. Right. I think there are two responses. I think the first one says, "Hello." Who is this? Right, just like that. Yeah. And then the second one says, Hope, is that you?
I think I send like basically, so let's see if this will show up on. So Hope on her Oh, can you see it? You can't. Let's see. So on Hope's dog tags, you can kind of see it says Hope, but like it's scratched out. There's some letters scratched out. And right underneath it, there's a serial number, which is also very scratched out, right?
Yeah.
And I think Hope puts in like her serial, like her like authentication code, right? Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. It is gobbledygook if you're not part of the EMC, the Erdos Mining Corps.
Right.
But if you're one of her teammates, then it's a call sign, right?
Right.
And then that's meaningful. So it's just like a string of numbers and letters, right? So
right,
it's garbage.
Marvel of you.
What's that?
Very Captain Marvel of you.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. It's very. Although Hope is at least a name.
Yeah.
Other than Veers.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, it's very cool. I definitely still love Captain Marvel, but yes. Her dog tag says Hopper 15. That's her call sign, and yeah, she just kind of scratched out everything but the Hope.
I think as you folks are making your way to Dr. Long's and you're having this chat, this digital chat, what comes back is, I don't have time for this.
They asked for help.
I'm like, okay, I guess you were looking for a different Hope.
This is us, all of us going into his office, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're on your way there.
I think it's going into like his personal quarters.
Yeah,
his personal quarters. Sorry, yes.
Yeah.
I think. Oh, go ahead. I was just going to say, I think I do, as we go in, I give an order, and that order is for me to temporarily lock the doors. Now, this is not an order he can't override. He can override it immediately, but I have at least enough authority. These two don't, but I have at least enough authority to say, lock the doors, because I'm trusted enough that if I was in there and needed to lock the doors and Dr. Long was cool with it, they would let me do it. Right?
Yeah, it would let you do that. So right. Yes.
I'm kind of showing that,
right.
You know, like I'm taking one step to kind of protect us, him, whatever, mm-hmm. the conversation. And he's going to have to override that if he needs to or wants to, right?
Right.
Just to show that, like, what kind of, like, gravity we're dealing with, right?
Right. No, I'm with you. I think you guys are outside still, though, right? When this last message comes in, you're just outside Dr. Long's quarters doors.
Yeah.
And the last message is, look, I already got one gift from you. I don't need you. I'm looking for somebody else.
And I'm like, what's it called on Craigslist when it's like missed opportunity? What's like when you
connections?
Misconnections.
Misconnections. Yes.
Yeah. And I'm just like, I'm like, effing Harker, talk about misconnections. Go troll some other channel. Send and block.
Nice.
Right. Like, I thought this was somebody in need.
What I will say is, he is, I think all that is about getting at least some Iridos asset, right? Or talent, right? So he's catfished and he's trying to get a hold of, right? But he knows who you are. You're too much trouble. I don't want you, right?
Yeah. Right. Dig it.
Crazy.
Right. I knew you got friends and that didn't work out so well for
right, us. Right. Okay. That's cool. I dig it. But he's catfishing for other people. I'm like, all right. It makes me feel a lot better about not getting back to.
God, I can't believe it was Harker.
I mean, I totally can. It's a dubious move. Yeah. This is so perfect because we're right at the door and clearly the whole way up here, Hope's been distracted. She keeps looking at her pad. She like puts it away. She's like, you have my entire attention. Like, she is like, forget that BS. I thought that mattered. It didn't matter. This is what matters.
Right.
Sorry, I was distracted before.
Nice.
I'm here now.
All right.
And then I'm assuming it's as Darth said, you go into Dr. Long's quarters, and then she initiates the lockdown of the quarters. And I'm assuming that includes comms and surveillance and video and that kind of thing, right? That all kind of is wrapped up together.
That's totally temporary. Like, if Dr. Long wants to override it, he can, but this is our way of showing, like, this shit's serious, whatever the situation is.
Yeah.
So I think, I think he comes out into the common area of his quarters, right? He gets his glasses and he puts his glasses on, right? He's maintaining some distance from everyone else, right? Intentionally, right? He's trying to maintain, because he's not sure what's going on here, right? There's like four of you, and Timothy, I think, it sticks it out with you. I think he's an penny in a pound now, right?
I love that Timothy is like stuck around for this nonsense. Like, we keep getting deeper and deeper into this shit, and I'm like, I keep looking at my shoulder like, Timothy's still here.
He's still here. Cool. Well, Raven's like, here's my line right here, right? This is my line, right?
Yeah. Raven was very clear about
it. Right?
I also love that Timothy hasn't been completely quiet about it. Like, occasionally he'd be like, I don't know, guys, or whatever. Right. But he's also still going.
Are we? Yeah.
So Long says, it's kind of late.
Well, this is important.
Yeah, we couldn't sleep.
Okay.
And I feel like Hope was like one who really led the conversation with Raven, because there was that connection. I feel like this should be like, this is the moment where Hope is like, I got your back, but also like, this isn't my conversation to lead up. And I look to Dominique and Tomer to be like, which of you really feels like you want to have like the lead in this? I would like to support one of you in having this kind of
stuff. I feel like it would make the most sense for Dartha to take point because she knows him the best. That said, if it does not go well, I'm team punching.
Oh, oh, that's so good.
So like, Dartha, you start, I'll pop in.
Yeah,
I love it.
Cool.
I think I just start with, well, we have a couple of problems. It appears that some of the protocols have broken down. Some of the information that has been spread around to the trusted sources have failed considerably today. And like, this is Dartha speaking from like a hospital bed, right? This isn't like, you know, hey, I'm Dartha. No, this is like, hey, I'm on my deathbed. And
right.
Today wasn't exactly the way we expected it to go. And I think, you know, maybe that's where it like cuts to commercial and we come back and we get a sense that like some information has been shared, maybe. But the main thing is Dartha just stops and says, what do you have to say to all of that? And that all of that is a little bit ambiguous because it was obviously like, oh, I guess during the commercial, maybe she said something about this situation that they just all dealt with.
Yeah.
Right.
But that's the question.
I like the way we are lighting over these moments of like, cool. So we've learned information A. Next time we're going to talk, we're going to jump to information B rather than repeating A again.
Right. Yeah. Right. Dr. Long says, look, my job is big, right? It's not science, right? It's security of a lot of different things. And not everyone needs to know everything. You have a job, Dartha. I expect you to do that job. And if it's stressing you out, if it's too much, you can talk to me, right? We can get you another job and we'll slot somebody else in where you are and we'll get those things done. But we all have to do the things. He's essentially saying we all got to stay in our lane so everything can work right? You don't need to get me up at night for this, right? This is ridiculous. I'm sorry what happened to you. I don't have all the details. I don't know everything. But I'm sure our security folks are on that. We'll figure out what happened, who did that, and we're on top of that. But
my response is 100% not really responding to him as just an individual, but is right. quoting, you know, what the equivalent in this world is of, or in our fear organization, mm-hmm. of Starfleet mm-hmm. code. Mm-hmm. 35B or whatever, that yeah. is basically like, hey, right. if the rules you're following are not moral, then you actually have to right. step up right. and be moral, right? Like, there's no rule for every situation and you're supposed to do the right thing, period.
Right, right. right.
And that's a very ambiguous, you know, like a lot of time. I mean, look, military and, you know, right. law and order, like, okay, yeah, you're supposed to step up, but when don't you cross that line? But that's I don't respond to his talk other than just quote that particular code.
Right. He kind of rolls his eyes, he puts his hands up and he waves it like that. He says, look, we can do the rest of this tomorrow. This can wait till tomorrow.
I'd like to punch him now.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think we're punching the old man.
It's punching time. It's punching time. I would like to just, like, I imagine that I'm standing like 45 degrees behind Dartha, okay. and I just go straight at him and swing.
Nice. I like it.
Do I roll the punch skill for that?
I'm gonna say no. I'm gonna say yes. You do that, right? He's not a combatant, right? You have that perfect human body, right? You've been trying to punch him for a couple days now, right? I think he's in a different world where he thinks I have this authority and everyone understands the chain of command, right? I'm in no physical danger here, right?
Yeah.
And so I think you ambush him, right? I think you get the jump on him. You punch him, right? I think you knock him down if you want, right?
I want him to like fall back, but then right. I want to grab the front of his shirt and immediately pull him back up because I'm not done with him.
Okay, and all right.
What I want to say, what do I want to say?
First of all, I love that you as an AI can be like, what's the exact force that I need to use to punch him, but then grab his shirt
yeah.
and pull him up?
He's not conscious.
It's notable that Hope, who has known, who you've been talking about punching him all night long, is not super surprised, but she still flinches a little bit because her understanding of your physiology is that you could probably easily kill him.
Yeah.
And she doesn't know how much you're going to, you know exactly how hard you're hitting, but she doesn't know how much you're,
right.
you're going at it. Like, are you going to try and brutalize this guy? Are you just smacking him once to knock some sense? Like, so she kind of flinches and then is like waiting, like.
Yeah. You know. And I'm going to grab him by the front of his shirt. And I'm going to say, no, I think we're going to settle this now.
Nice.
I need you to answer for what it is that Darth is asking you. And I have some questions myself.
Nice. Give me a second here.
That was so much fun. I'm so happy.
I'm so happy that you got to. Also, I think it's really funny that we made talkie-talkie with the military person and we got punchy-punchy with the scientist guy.
Yeah, like, with
I feel like that's a really like fun twist there of like, yeah.
Yeah, I think you jar him, right? And I think he's like, oh, what the hell, right? I think there's a little blood coming out of his nose, right? And he's like, Jesus, are you kidding me, right? And he's like, let me go.
I let go of his shirt.
Right? And he says, look, you, none of you know what's really happening here, right?
No, we don't, but we would like to. Are you going to tell us?
You're a bunch of cave ants living in the dark, right?
Enlighten me.
You, Mr. AI, right? You're the problem, right? You're why Sinclair is attacking and suspicious and ready to annihilate the human race at a moment's notice. You're the thing he's been looking for the time he's been on the station. You hope, right? I know you're worried about the Cold War down there, right? But they're weaponizing folks with sonic abilities, right? They're going to find all kinds of stuff on that vault, and I can't stop that. I can stop certain things. I can't stop everything.
This is when I speak out.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, yes, I understand that, but why haven't you told me?
Oh, nice. Yeah, we may just be peons, but why are you keeping Darth in the dark?
Right.
It's almost like a little bit, you know, like it's not trying to be condescending to the friends, but it is kind of like, you guys have spoken up about what your concerns are and why are you being betrayed, basically.
Yeah. Right?
And this is me doing exactly what you're doing.
Right. Yeah. No, I love it. I think Hope was about to say something like, Hope was about to reiterate something that like she's already said tonight, right? And repeat it. And I love that what you said is that Hope's like, oh yeah, no, that's a better question. My questions you wouldn't care about.
And Long says, so we're putting it all on the table then. This is what this is, everything. You can't turn back now, right? If we're putting it all on the table. Where's your homeworld, Dartha? Why is that a big secret? Why can't we know about that? It's not that silly place that you've told us.
I think Hope looks a little confused.
She doesn't
know anything. She's like, what? Yeah. You know, she's kind of narrows her eyes and looks at Dartha. Not like, what have you told us? But just like, it's more like, what is he even talking about?
What is he even talking about, right? Like, he's just Clack? Clack and his people? We know everything down to their DNA, right? They are partners with the human race. I don't know if you are, right? We're doing this dance. We're aligned. But I don't know that we're partners, Dartha. Really?
And I think it's followed by a bit of like, almost like it's silence, and you don't know if Dartha is ashamed or is hiding a thing. You know, this is definitely that moment where, like, definitely there's some people in the audience who are like, wait a minute, is Dartha the bad guy?
Right. I think Hope is still like not there yet, but she is getting a little, she's more confused than suspicious, but you know, suspicion is kind of in the air.
Sure.
Anyway.
Sure. And Let me tell you a story, right? Let me enlighten you, right? Let me give you the answers you're looking for, right? And you don't really want these answers. I don't know, 100, 1,000, a gazillion years ago, they used to watch these things on TV, right? Folks would go out into the far, far lands out west someplace, right? And civilizations were kind of scattered, kind of like we are now. Places are scattered. And there was one guy in town, the sheriff, that guy. And he kind of held the town together, right? But he knew, right, that if things went sideways, right, he could send out some messages and the cavalry or the military would come, right? I'm the sheriff, right? But you guys don't remember that they're sheriffs, right? You don't remember the Terran Mandate, right? We say that and no one knows what that is anymore. No one remembers what the perimeter agencies are, right? I'm the sheriff and there's no cavalry coming. And there's bad shit in our constellation here. And it's left up to me and fear to get on top of that. So I don't tell you everything. I don't know that I can trust you, Dartha, right? I don't know what your people are after. I know what Sinclair is after. I know Clack's people are in a penny and a pound. And I know my great, 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 great grandpappy, we locked him up, we froze him and put him to sleep because he makes bad stuff, right? Not broken stuff, bad stuff. And he can't stop making bad stuff. That's what he likes to do, right? His curiosity is an obsession. He makes bad stuff because he wants to know what it's going to do.
And I think after a moment, I'm happy to kind of respond and go, I'm here to do one thing, and that is make peace. And I just don't know if you can handle it. And I'm saying you as humans. I'm not really saying
right,
you,
right,
Dr.
Right.
Long.
Right.
But that's my response.
Yeah. I think Hope is like, you don't know if you can trust us, and yet you've given us zero reason to trust you. You have the most capable team here with the most amazing abilities. And you don't think that it, how did you not predict that eventually we were going to put these pieces together? How did you not foresee that this was going to happen and that we were going to be at this impasse? Why would you not realize that we're not going to be Raven? We're not just going to follow orders and do everything you say without question. So you need all of us, Sheriff. You need your deputies. But you've got to give us some reason to believe that we're doing the right thing. You say you want to stop bad stuff. I want to stop bad things too. But I got to know which side I'm on. Hell, there aren't even sides anymore. I got to know that what we're doing is good. And all this cat and mouse game certainly doesn't give us any confidence. So you can call us ants coming out of a cave, but we're the only ants you've got. I don't think you have another precog, another AI, another lithomorph on your team. I don't think you have an ability to go to the orbital station without us. And I'm willing to work with you, but only if you're straight.
And I do reach out my pseudopod and I put it on Dr. Long's hand. And there's nice. Another pseudopod that I reach out. And Atlas, I don't know if you still have like your fist.
I feel like I'm still ready to punch if I need to.
Yeah. And I think the pseudopod goes on your hand. And then a third pseudopod actually goes out and touches Hope's hand.
Oh, please tell me a fourth one goes to Timothy. Because
you know. Oh yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, oh, and I want to actually revise that because I feel like Timothy is the one that's like always forgotten about. So yeah. Like I say, you know, you need the three of us, and then I'm like, and you don't have a med tech engineer with half the knowledge of, and I think I feel like Timothy and Hope have had like a friendship. Like I feel like he deferred to her in several right. times. And Jay, is it okay with you if I know like some weird hobby?
That oh Timothy yeah, no, go ahead, do it.
Like, you, who has half the knowledge of exotic teas through all different sections of the galaxy and the ways to prepare them. Timothy has.
And there's this awkward really pause. I had three hands ready, but there's this awkward pause as like I'm growing another suit.
Nice.
The afterthought pseudopod.
Nice. I think that's the perfect place to cut.
Nice.
Oh, that was so intense. Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. All right, Jake, friends. Let's
go into us.
Nice.
Let's do some XP.
XP time.
Yes, it is XP time.
All right. I think we made a mistake at the beginning, which is we failed to talk about what our group goal was.
Oh.
But I would be willing to retcon it myself to say our group goal was to figure out what the fuck is happening with fear.
And that's totally, I'm because totally cool because that's what we've done this whole session.
This is a whole session, right? We've been pursuing that doggedly. Right. Yeah. So cool. Let me pull up the character sheets so everyone can see it. Let's do apps first.
Okay. My three goals were to learn more about how social relationships function for Dartha, which I did not really do. To talk to the great, great, great grandpappy Dr. Long, which I did not do. And to hound the Dr. Long of fear for more info on his background with AI, which I think I did.
I think you did. Also,
yes,
think,
you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Well, that's great. If you complete any of your goals, mm-hmm. you get the bonus XP. So you're going to get 3 XP, which puts you at 12, which means right. you are level 4.
Yes.
All right. Dartha.
So what was it? Short-term goals included, I was trying to save it in this thing, but trying to strengthen the almost non-existent bond between Clack and the other two.
Right.
Not really a thing. Find out what Dr. Long is hiding for me. I feel like you kind of got some of that.
Yeah, no, I think you did.
Yeah, and Sinclair WTF, I think we got...
Yeah, I think you figured that out too. Yeah. I mean, via bomb, but yeah, I think you did it.
You got exploded.
Yeah.
You exploded. Nice. Awesome. So, same thing. You're at 12 XP level 4. Yep. And I hope my goals were to answer the distress call on the feed,
yes.
Which I did.
Parker.
Yeah, exactly. Find out who's behind this escalation between Eerdos and Yan. Which I also did.
Yep, that's fear.
That's fear. And what's happening on Landing Bay 8? I didn't really, that was people I was looking at the feed round, but that didn't really come up. So I can still kind of, be digging on that. But I completed at least one of them. So
right.
I'm going to mark that as good. And I will be level 3 as well, or level 4 as well.
Level 4, yeah. That's awesome. That's perfect.
Yeah. Cool, cool beans. Teleportation level 2, here I come.
Ooh, hell yeah, hell yeah.
That moves you ahead of what Harker took from you, because he can't grow that past what he grabbed, right? So he will never get experience in teleportation beyond what level he took it from you at. Does that make sense?
Nice. I'm happy about that. Notably, the teleportation level 2 ability is I can teleport my friends.
That's right.
That's or it is one of the abilities. What's
that's
that?
That's gonna be so much fun.
Yeah, it wears me out more, so it's right. Not. I can't just do it like I can if myself. But it's fine. It'll be plenty. Also, I can go further. So that's
right. And you go further.
I can now go. Instead of 100 meters, I can go 10 kilometers. That's anywhere on the station.
Yeah.
That's a really big increase.
Yeah, the jumps are pretty significant.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. Well, let's do our outros.
I mean, Dominique, I don't know if you were expecting to get teleportation as well during this. This is a boon. I did not know that I get to teleport too.
I do not teleport. Without having to do any of the work of having like
ability. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Were this campaign to go in a very different direction, there would have been a story of Hope's genetic engineering and their attempts to weaponize her and her sort of feeling like a real affinity to all the other hoppers. You know, she's hopper 15, but like there's a lot of like a real strong affinity to all the other hoppers and seeing what's happening to them and defecting in part because she didn't want to become a weapon, in part because she didn't want them to go to war, and in part because she wanted to like be able to help get the other ones out. And I don't think that's going to be the focus of this story, because that's Hope's sort of tragic backstory, you know, but those are the thoughts that I had with like her whole shtick.
I totally see it as like this is the TV series, but then later that's the graphic novel that comes out that tells you like the Hope story.
The backstory. So
yeah,
and that's why her psychic abilities are just blossoming so quickly, because now that you know again stealing from Captain Marvel, now that she's no longer being sort of controlled by Eerdos, they're really coming out. Yeah, she's a little Carol Danvers. She's a little River Tan.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm Sean, as you probably know. I use he, him pronouns. I've had a blast playing this game. it's been so much fun. I thought this game had, you know, for being on station, downtime, catching up, we had explosions, we had fistfights, we had, you know, hover bikes, we had... reveals. This was great stuff. Jay, thank you so much for packing this game so densely that there's just like all these layers to pry off. I'm rambling on my outro. I can be found anywhere at Sean Nittner. My game Agon is, or the game I co-authored Agon, is out to backers right now. I still haven't gotten my copy, but I'm expecting it literally any day. I have the tracking number. I keep looking at it every day. It's in San Francisco. It's like a hop, skip, and jump from me. So hopefully soon I'll have that in my hands. I just got Korean and French copies of For the Queen that have been translated, which are just beautiful, and I'm really excited, especially the Korean box. It's an amazing box. And so that's a neat little perk. And I got a lot of more streams going on. Tomorrow we're doing Burning Wheel, and there's just rest of the week. Just keep coming back. We're playing a bunch. And hey, 400 Goblins, first time viewer, I'm so glad that you came in to see it. Take a peek at our YouTube link, and you can see the VODs if you're interested. How about you, Dominique?
I've been Dominique. I use they/them pronouns. You can find me on Twitter at domsdicky or at dominiquedicky.com. I had an adventure out with Monty Cook Games recently called Heist on Miracle 4. It's a caper on a space station, much like what we got into during this episode. Very similar vibes to this episode, to be honest. And I have a narrative courtroom RPG coming out pretty soon. It's called Trial. It's about a murder trial. That was really intense and fun. Thank you, Jay. We'll take it over to Tomes.
Tomes or Tomer, he, him. You can find me on Twitter at tgrants. That's my last name. I'm sure you'll figure it out. I like not being having to spell my name all the time. Like every time I get phone calls, it's like I gotta spell my name. I'm not gonna do it for you. Sorry. You
gotta put it in chat. Don't worry. There's links.
Story Games Glendale. That's a little LA community I'm a part of. I talked about it last time. I do want to talk about Strategicon though, because Strategicon is the LA game convention, board games, LARPs, all the stuff, party games, and RPGs and story games. And we have a small games on demand group of which I head. It's a little bit more casual than some of the larger cons, but we are having our convention coming up September 4-7. It was free earlier this year. This is going to be a couple bucks, but like also you can get a free pass if you run a game for me or, you know, come volunteer a few minutes to get people in the game. So let me know. You can find me on Twitter. I think that's the easiest way. I'll hand it over to Jay, maybe.
I'm Jay. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at MadJ0, all spelled out. I'm currently organizing Games on Demand online, and that's crazy right now. We've got like almost 80 events out there. I'm going to run By Easter's Light, which I finished writing. So I'll run a session of that. I'm also the host of the Diceology podcast, and we will live stream from Games on Demand online that whole weekend. So this game is badass. I love it. You guys are awesome players. So I love following you around and seeing where we go. I had no plot, man. I'm following you guys and running the faction turns. So.
You don't have plot, but you got a lot of there, which I really appreciate. Sometimes you got a game. It's like Battlestar Galactica with like, they got a plan. There's a plan. And then the writers get around and like, well, we don't love it. Do you have an idea of a plan? I don't think there's actually a plan, right? And this was very satisfying because we're like, we're going to dig into the truth. You're like, oh, you want to dig in? Okay, check out this out. This table comes, and then these screens, and this purple armor, and this other shit, and the sheriff is in town, and right? Like, I love that you don't have a plot in mind, but you do have a lot of understanding of the world. So when we dig into something, we're like, we want to sink our teeth into this. You're like, here you go. Here's all this stuff. And that was really
cool. You don't have a plot or like, plan, but goddamn, you have a game. You got the game.
I appreciate it. This Indeed. Is fun. I look forward to this game. This is my prime game. I love it. So
fantastic. All right, friends. Well, we will see you in 2 weeks back here. But like I said, plenty more on the channel coming up tomorrow. Good night, all.
I'm here for one thing, to make peace. I don't know if humans are up for it. I love it. I loved it when Dr. Long was like, you're the problem, Atlas. You being an AI is an issue. And hope you know that precogs are being weaponized. And Dartha, we don't know where you're really from or what you're really about. I love that was sort of a flip back on us. And we were asked, what our real allegiance was, what we really stood for, what whether we were willing to trust him, trust Long and Fear, and just he's saying he was a sheriff, but he didn't have any cavalry to come in, and we offered to be his deputies, but only if we knew what was going on. It's good times, and I look forward to seeing what happens if we do learn. What, now that we know a little more about Dr. Long's agenda, what we're going to do together. So stay tuned for episode 5. We will find out.